Okay, hi, my name is Jaina Mizukawa. I am 45 years old. Today's date is August 1st, 2020, and I am speaking with my sister Stacy and our parents Lynn and Don, who are having their 50th wedding anniversary today. We are recording this interview in Bellevue, Washington, and I'll pass it over to Stacy.
I'm Stacy. I am Jaina's sister and Don and Lynn's daughter. I am almost 48, and I'm joining the interview from my home in Los Angeles, California.
Oh, I'm okay, Lynn.
So we wanted...
Go ahead.
Okay, so we wanted to find a way to celebrate your 50th wedding anniversary. We were supposed to have a party with family and friends, but because it's 2020, it was a casualty of the pandemic of COVID-19. So we thought this might be a nice way to commemorate the occasion and hear more about your meeting, your marriage, and the last 50 years of married life. So we just wanted to say happy anniversary, first of all. And I guess we can just get started, right, Jaina?
Yep. So,
okay.
Why don't you guys describe your first meeting?
Our first meeting, actually.
The first time you met, yeah.
Oh, the first time we met.
Like initial impressions.
I was a student in a class that Don was a TA in, and that's how we first met.
So what year in college were you, and how old were you when you guys first met?
1969? I can't remember. Sophomore year? Junior year. Yeah. So that would have been 1969 then?
69.
Yes.
Yeah. University of Hawaii, Manoa campus.
Okay.
And of course, okay. I didn't make social contact until the semester was over because it would have been unethical. So I waited until grades were in. And Mom complained that she didn't get an A.
I didn't get on the dean's list because of Dad.
So did you call her or didn't have
How did that work?
Did you write her a letter?
I don't remember.
You called me to tell me that I wasn't getting an A. So that was not pleasant. I should have just hung up, because it was a difficult class because the instructor would do videotapes of her lectures and not my style of learning, I guess. And I sometimes had no idea what she was talking about. So I would go in during office hours to ask, you know, like, what exactly is she talking about? And this was a...
And I didn't know. You know, she was illogical in a lot of ways. For example, her multiple choice tests were impossible, because they'd have A, B, C, D, E, and then the last one would be all of the above, but then second to last was none of the above. So all of the above included none of the above, you know, so everybody got confused.
Yeah.
So I didn't enjoy myself then.
So it was a really... not a real good class to be in.
So what class was it?
Introduction to Educational Psychology and Testing.
Oh, okay.
Not good.
Yeah. So So you took the class, Mom, you took the class all semester and just kind of went to every office hour. Did you guys know that you liked each other and wanted to see each other outside of class, like at that point?
Nope. It was purely instructor-student, as I really, it was an education class, so I knew I wanted to do well in it, you know, because that was my major.
Because that was your major.
Yes. Yeah. And so it was like, I don't get this lady. I need help. So I would go in, and Dad was very, you know, like you said, very professional. And I mean, we would talk about what she was talking about, and then I would leave. So, yeah.
So what did you think when you got a call from your former TA?
Nothing. I just assumed when he said it was to tell you about your grade, because I had been saying, you know, before, I said, I really want to do well in this class, and, you know, I'm hoping to get an A in the class. And he never said anything.
That's how you broke the ice.
He never said anything like, no, you're kind of far from it, but I don't know. So then I, when he called, I just assumed, oh, he's going to tell me what my grade was. And he said, yeah, you're not getting an A. Shoot.
And so do you remember how he segued that into asking you out?
I don't remember
I don't remember that either. I don't remember what we talked about after that.
Well, it was a dilemma because Mom had to ask her parents if it was a good idea since there was a 5-year age difference, and I was, you know, an authority figure in her education. So they were reluctant. You know, because I was so much older, and they thought I would take advantage. Especially
you're 5 years older, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're 5 years older. Yeah.
But the other thing too is that they lived in Eva, which is a sugar plantation community out in the country, and I'm from Honolulu, which is considered the big slicker city. So I was not to be trusted.
Well, in fact, his best friend, Mel, would ask him, why are you going all the way out there to pick up a girl and then come back to Honolulu to go out on a date and then drive her all the way home?
Well, in terms of scale, it was only a 20-mile ride.
Yeah.
And yet people thought that was to another country. It was so far.
So you were living at home,
mm-hmm,
during college?
Yes.
Both of us.
Yeah.
Both of you guys were living at home.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that first date was really kind of odd, too, because Mom was at work, and she worked at Mililani Memorial Park, a cemetery.
Uh-huh.
So I had to go pick her up at the cemetery. And then, since I didn't know any of the places to eat or movies or whatever on in the far country, we came back to Honolulu and we saw, what was it, the Palace Theater, Rock Hudson, and Ice Station Zebra.
That was the first date?
That was our first date, yeah. Ice Station Zebra.
Yeah, and you know, it's a science fiction thing, but it wasn't impressive to me. It was not a really great movie. And then we went out for a snack. And of course, I didn't have a lot of money.
Yeah, you're a graduate student at this point, right?
Yeah. And so we went to Coco's, C-O-C-O, which is a popular, you know, late night eating place.
On the edge of Waikiki.
Yeah.
So it's like a Denny's, right?
No, more upscale.
Fancy.
Fancier.
More upscale than Denny's, yeah.
So we had dessert. Well, Mom ordered, and then I ordered Jell-O. And she couldn't figure out why I ordered Jell-O. I didn't have any money left, you know. Pay for it.
Why? What did she order?
I had a pile of mo. I was just gonna have pie. He said, don't you want ice cream a la mode? And I said, okay, sure. Trying to impress, I guess.
Yeah, well, another thing that impressed her was, you know, I was wearing this shirt, pastel colored shirt, and I need to carry tissue. So the only tissue my mother had in the house was pink. So mom looked at my shirt and saw the pink tissue sticking out, and she had thoughts about why?
Yeah, it's like right in his shirt pocket. Pink tissue. Okay. Yeah. So that was our first date. And
but it really went well. I enjoyed it more than the movie.
What did you guys think after the first date?
Well, I don't think it got serious.
I don't know. We sat and talked for a long time, though.
Yeah.
I mean, after we got home, there's this tree in front of this where I was living then, and we just sat and we talked. And
well, what turned into a pivot point was that was my last year in the master's program. No, I was in the doctoral program at the University of Hawaii, but one of the professors managed to get me admitted to the doctoral program at Indiana University. So I really wanted to go. And so, I don't know, like 6 months before I had to leave, I proposed. And that was a shocker for the whole family, because your grandma and grandpa wanted to make sure that mom graduated from school, but she was in her senior year. Didn't want anything embarrassing to happen. So within, you know, a short period of time, we got the wedding planned. We had to use mom's money to buy a car. And we picked it up in Detroit, then drove down to Indiana. So within a few weeks, we had gone to Japan for a week and a half honeymoon. Then we got back and then went to Detroit to pick up the car.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a few days later, we were in Bloomington, Indiana. It turned out we were really early. Nobody else was there. So we decided to drive to Washington, D.C., given the brand new car. And that was not a fun trip, because it's the first time we encountered people who were so rude. So we came home, and then the best thing about it was a roadside diner somewhere off the freeway in Ohio, where we had breakfast and ham and eggs. The slice of ham was gigantic, and the price of breakfast was so cheap.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the kind of thing that marked the very beginning.
It was a very different life compared to Hawaii, you know, where you knew pretty much the rules and the etiquette. I mean, I didn't even know what a turnpike was, and paying toll on the turnpike. We didn't have that in Hawaii. And getting ready for winter was an experience.
Yeah, we went overboard. I got a coat that was so heavy that I started sweating as soon as I put it on. It had a kind of fake fur collar and all that kind of thing. Just overkill. But because it was our first winter outfit, we would go out walking in the snow.
Well, we even paraded. We went to Indianapolis to buy our clothes, and we came home that afternoon, and we put on our winter stuff, boots and gloves and hat and a coat, and we went walking in the trailer park.
It was August?
In September. People must have thought we were kind of weird. What are these weird people doing? And, you know, snow, you had to learn how to drive in the snow. So we would use the parking lot of the IU parking lot stadium. And, you know, we'd have to slam on the brake and have the car skid. And we had to learn how to turn in into the slide. And it was just so counterintuitive. It was very, very different. And missing Hawaii so much. We had some friends, Ann and Jiro Saito from California. And we had to do a teriyaki barbecue the first Christmas, because everybody was missing home. They were missing home. We were missing home. And there was this this man who worked at the IU library and his wife. And so we got together with them and three families missing home so much. They were from Korea, I think, originally. And so we had teriyaki grilled on the hibachi.
Yeah, it had to be on the hibachi, charcoal. Mm-hmm. But we did it with snow on the ground, and it was so cold that it wasn't heating up, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it was...
Yeah, that was...
Kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
But also with just a thin, powdery snow on the ground, have you tried to make snow angels? We had to try, but
yeah, you must have been excited to see snow for the first time.
Yeah, that was something.
But there was not enough snow even to get an impression, you know. So, yeah, all these Hawaii people look like idiots.
Mm. So you got engaged only 6 months after you met. And then you were engaged for 6 months, and then you got married.
No, we got engaged.
The summer before, right?
Yeah, so we must have known each other. By the time we got married, we knew each other two years? No.
Yeah, 2 years.
Two years.
But because I had to leave, there's a lot of pressure on Mom either to accept or not.
And how did you propose?
In my father's 1965 Valiant. Mm. In front of her house.
It was kind of like, well, you know, I'm leaving. I'm going to school in Indiana. So we either get married or we separate right now. Kind of like that. That's how I remember it anyway. Like,
yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Because if we weren't going to see each other for 2 or 3 years, then... A long-distance relationship across, 6,000 miles?
Yeah.
Would have been impossible.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
So, she, Mom had to talk to her parents. Her parents agreed to it eventually, but they were really leery. And then, after they saw how well we were doing, then, according to Uncle Rod, they were so thankful that I had taken Mom away that he was complaining that I was getting bigger birthday presents than he was. They're so grateful.
I should have said no. I would have been today.
Yeah, well, it's no accident. I'm not included in his will.
Go ahead, Jaina.
Oh, so over the 50 years, was there any time when you guys experienced the feeling of wanting to call it quits?
Got close when the two of you were really little. Mom was the caregiver, and I had to spend a lot of time at work trying to get published and do research and all that. And so I was the one bringing in the money, and after a couple of years of that, I got resentful that so much depended on me. And I got close to wanting to leave. Of course, that wouldn't have solved anything. Nothing at all. It would have made more problems. But I got over that. And then afterwards, since Mom has always been supportive, it worked out fine. But it was me for a while. I think it must have been almost 2 years where I was feeling very unhappy. You know, there was so much stress at work that I come home and the two of you would understand that I couldn't be bothered for maybe half an hour. So you stayed away from me as soon as I got home until I decompressed. And then things got better. So the stress was there. And it was external stress, not internal. We didn't have any problems internally. Yeah.
I remember you not coming home until after we were in bed lots of nights.
Yeah.
It was like that in graduate school, though. There were a lot of nights that I went to bed and Dad came home like 2, 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, I've spent up to 24 hours in the computer science center. And it turned out, you know, those days with key punch machines, that I was the only one in our department who knew how to program them. You know, otherwise you have to do every column one at a time. And if you program the card reader, the card key punch, then after data in the first 8 columns or whatever, then it could skip to the 12th column and then, you know, so you don't have to think about where you are. And so when people see me working like that at odd hours, they're always there for me to do the troubleshooting. So it really got in the way after a while. That's why I ended up really liking the home computer. But yeah, I spent 24 hours there. And nowadays, you know, only the super geeky nerds do that.
So do each of you have a most memorable moment or period of time for that you would describe that as your most memorable time in the last 50 years of your marriage?
Well, I do. I shouldn't be doing all the talking, but the best present I ever got was from Mom, and it never got used. It was flight lesson at the Bellevue Airport. You remember, we used to go to the Bellevue Airport to watch the landings.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was so scared, chicken, that lesson expired, never used it. But it was still the best present I ever got.
I don't know. The gift from the kids and me with the iPod. That was a really big hit,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that was something, yeah.
Yeah.
Totally unexpected.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. For me, I'm gonna cry. On the day we were married, and we walked out of the temple, the Honganji Devo, Aya Honganji, Dad put his hand on the back of the small of my back. And I think I was nervous and scared, but that made it feel like everything was gonna be okay. Everything was fine. That this was gonna work. Because it was, you know, we didn't know each other that long. And it was kind of a let's get married or separate. And so you go through the ceremony and, you know, getting the preps and everything. But that one gesture, I still remember. In fact, I told you about it about a month ago. I don't know. It was something like that was, we're going to be okay. We're going to be okay. And through everything. You know, when Dad had his heart surgery, Jaina was there with me, but when Dad had his heart surgery, when he was in the hospital with broken back and all those kinds of things, there was never a moment that I thought, even with heart surgery, that he wasn't going to make it. It was, we'll be okay, right? I mean, it was scary. We were scared, but it was like, no, he's okay. Surgery needs to be done. Let's go. Let's do it. Let's go. And so, I don't know. It just is this belief, I guess, that, you know, we're going to be fine. And some days we get really mad at each other, but, and I do a lot of slamming and not talking. And that's when he knows that I'm really upset. But, you know, I don't know. We just kind of moved on. So, yeah.
Well, you know what part of the glue was for this family was my two daughters. And they grew up to be so thoughtful, sensitive, caring. Oh, shoot.
Yeah.
I mean, just the StoryCorps idea. So totally unexpected. That's the kind of thing that I really appreciated over the years.
Yeah.
People doing really nice things, and it was personal rather than, let's get him a nice necktie, you know.
Or just even, excuse me, I lost my thought. I can't remember
what it was. We're both going through this kind of fragile memory right now. Mm. That's with the age. Mm. So, I forgot to mention, I'm 76 years old, born in Honolulu. I had two siblings that did not survive, and one older sister who did, who just died. But my oldest sister, two children before me, was Naomi, and my mother cried when she told me about Naomi's death, because she had just given birth in the maternity hospital that still exists in Honolulu, Kapiolani. And she said it was the morning after the delivery. She was exhausted, but in those days they kept the baby separate in a nursery. Well, she wanted to take a walk, so she just stood up and went to the window. And just below the window, a couple of stories down, there was the loading dock. And a hearse pulled in, and the two people opened the back and brought out a small casket. So my mother started tearing up, thinking, oh, whoa, what a sad situation that a child just died. Later that morning, they told her child had died. She hadn't expected that. And apparently what happened was the umbilical cord had been cut too short. But because of the live birth, the baby had a name, Naomi, and actually then had an altar in their home for as long as I could recall. Joyce, my older sister, was born, and then about 5 years later I was born in 1943. And then apparently my mother said I had a younger brother that was miscarried. She said she didn't know what was happening, but she felt pain when she was using the toilet. And something fell into the water, and it turned out to be the fetus. Hmm. So both of my parents really doted on us. And that's why I'm such a spoiled adult right now. So, that's part of my history.
Hmm. Do you want to say your age?
Oh, I am 72. So when I think back about the, when we got married, I thought, wow, that was really young. Those are the days when women usually, you know, got married early. And I was thinking about that this morning. I was thinking, wow, my girls have so much more in terms of experiences, you know, living alone and working and everything, because I basically moved from home to marriage, you know, like one jump and the next phase began. But yeah, every generation, I guess, is a little bit different. But yeah, no, that's all I wanted to say.
Yeah, and one of the challenges of not having been independent for a while is mom had to learn how to cook, which meant long distance phone calls to her mother in Hawaii, where the ingredient list was one box Jell-O, or, you know, the small can, not the big one. And it was really hard.
Yeah.
But look at her now.
We made do. We had a very limited budget, right? Because Dad was a graduate student, and I worked at the Indiana University Library as a clerk in the office in the interlibrary system, and we didn't have much money, so we would make $15 a week stretch. For groceries.
No, if I recall, it's $15 for 2 weeks of groceries.
I thought it was 1 week, but it was a lot of hamburger and
hamburger helper,
and we gained a lot of weight that first year. It was kind of like my freshman, you know, the freshman weight gain that you get when you go to college, because all we could afford were really cheap food and salty food and not so good. But, you know, it's like we're doing okay. Dad's lost a lot of weight, and I told Stacy this morning that I can still fit into my wedding dress. So since then, you know, we've gone this 360 and we're back to our about our wedding day weight, I would say.
Really? Both of you guys weigh the same as when you were married 50 years ago?
Well, no.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. No.
Wow, that's really...
So I was teasing Dad, and I said, maybe for 50 plus one, we should get him a black tux. And I could wear my wedding dress.
Or you guys could do another wedding.
Oh, yeah. We're going to find a rainbow.
We're going to find a Filipino band.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, family, my own family growing up was not close. Both parents had to work independently, had to get myself to school, never had enough money even to buy lunch, always wore clothes made from chicken feed bag fabric. Never had store-bought clothes. And my mother made all my shirts, but she never used a pattern. She just eyed it, which meant that sometimes if I put on the shirt, it looked warped.
See, I, on the other hand, my mother was a seamstress, so I had really nice clothes. And she would always say, I pick really, the word is jimina, it's really old person fabric, but that was, I was lucky. I had really nice clothes.
Yeah, and then when we got to Seattle and I started working at the UW, Grandma would always send me a long sleeve Aloha shirts, to the point that my reputation got way blown out of proportion. The Kashimas met one of my former graduate students at a Phi Beta Kappa meeting, and the student said, oh, I remember him. He would come to class and teach in these Hawaiian print shorts. I never wore shorts to school. But then, you know, that kind of mythology began to grow.
He wore shorts, though, to his
Wedding rehearsal.
Wedding dress rehearsal. Everybody else was in pretty decent clothes, but Dad had his Hawaiian shorts.
Yeah, just another.
And smoking. That's right.
Smoking.
We have pictures of him with cigarettes. Yes.
Yeah, smoking for a long time, right?
Yep.
Of course, everybody in the Takemoto side was so polite, they didn't say anything. But my older sister just kept going, hammering at it. Oh, boy.
What, the smoking or the
clothing? Not dressing as a dress rehearsal. I said, nobody told me it was a dress rehearsal. And, you know, it was really simple. You really didn't need to rehearse it because the steps are just, you know, straight.
Oh, where did you guys get married at a temple or did
Buddha,
you get
Buddhist temple?
Yeah. Buddhist temple.
Yeah,
okay.
Aya Honganji.
Oh, okay.
What was the choice that Dad got? The one choice for the wedding?
Oh.
Two choices, right? The Filipino band and...
Which didn't happen.
It didn't happen.
Oh.
But what did you get? What did you want?
I wanted the bridesmaids not to be pastel and look
like everybody else. Yeah.
So I asked if they could wear red velvet dresses.
Ooh.
And Grandma volunteered to sew them all, and they were beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Except that velvet crushes in high humidity.
Yeah.
So as the women started marching down the aisle, if you saw their backs, they had two shiny circles on their butts.
And your cousin Maureen has never forgiven you for that.
Oh, man.
Yes, it was different.
Yeah.
You wanted different. Well, the other different thing, though, we had in Hawaii, it was always traditional to wrap portions of prune cake in foil, and then you wrap it in a box or in netting or something. That was always the traditional
called the groom's cake.
The groom's cake, yes. And it was very traditional. Dad didn't want that. He wanted something different. So we gave out fortune cookies with our names and the date. Yeah,
right, and each one had to be typed on a manual typewriter.
Yes.
Tiny little pieces of paper.
So Dad went and it was no
red ribbon.
And it was no repeat, right? There's no command for repeat. So like yeah.
Do you remember how many you had to type?
Well, we had about almost 300 people, right?
Something like
300?
250 or something. Yes, but then it was the a family affair. So I can remember standing there in the reception line and Dad and I like, who is this coming down the hall? Who is this coming down? I don't know. I thought it was your relative. No, it's not my relative. Who is this? It was friends of Grandma and Grandpa. And my grandma, you know, neighborhood friends from way, way back. So, yeah, there were a lot of people. And the other thing that I don't understand now, especially, is in Hawaii, you have this beautiful wedding cake. And back then, I don't know how much it was. It was part of the
catering.
So it wasn't itemized, so we didn't have to buy special cake for the wedding. But I can remember, now that I think back on it, I kept thinking, why didn't we eat it? You know, we kept the top for the first year anniversary, but we didn't have, we weren't even there, so I don't even know what happened to it. And why didn't people serve the cake? Instead of we gave out these tiny little groom's cake, or prune cake. So I was like, oh, we should have eaten it. And it would have been lemon too.
You sure? Maybe it was a dummy cake. It was all styrofoam.
Oh, maybe. I didn't think about that. Maybe it was a dummy cake. I don't know. But anyway.
Well, the other sour note was We had beautiful floral arrangement centerpieces that we put families' names on so that they knew they could take them home. Other people tore the tags off and took the flower arrangements. So I kept telling Mom, your relatives are really bad.
We don't know who they belong to. Yeah.
So in sum up, did you guys have anything you wanted to say to each other on the 50th wedding anniversary?
Yeah, I'm completely, thoroughly have gratitude for this this lady, because through all the worst times, she's been unwavering, which is makes me feel guilty a lot, but the support has been really, really excellent. I mean, she's willing to do things that are really inconvenient, but she'll do it and she won't complain. No complaints. So thank you very much.
Yes, Dan. Thank you. Dad's been a really good dad, a good husband. Always supporting me. Like when I went to school, I wouldn't have made it through my master's program without Dad. He was my editor. He was my my person to say, you know, if I couldn't cook, it was like tuna sandwich for dinner or whatever it was fine. And in the middle of that, we remodeled the house a little bit, and it was always like, whatever you need. And even now, like when it's too hot to cook, like the other last few nights, it was like, we're having sandwich. Okay, you know, no complaints, no gripes. The only thing he doesn't really like is beans. I wish he would eat more beans. Beans are low points, but he doesn't like beans. Okay, all right, fine. We don't want to have beans. But yeah, it's been a good 50 years.
Yeah, I can't believe half a century.
Yeah. That's what we said years. This morning. Well, first thing we said, can you believe it's been 50 years? How did it go so fast?
Yeah, and then to have kids almost that age.
Well, at least you can say they're not 50 yet. Yeah. You know, they're not over 50.
Yeah, I should have said I'm 55.
Oh, yeah. Somebody will put two and two together. But, you know, when you reach age 50, you're going to get that letter of invitation from AARP.
Like Steve did.
From AARP?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the discounts.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing, too. Our families have just been so great. You two, our sons-in-law. Our grandkids.
Yeah, we got lucky because you guys got lucky with choice of spouses.
Yeah.
And the grandkids. Wow. Yeah.
The spouses have been terrific.
And then you compare my relatives, Mom's relatives, there's dysfunction all over the place.
Yeah.
But not with us.
I don't know. We should ask them. They might have a different opinion. Okay, so white.
That's the Japanese silence.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing your stories with us.
Yeah.
And thank you for this.
Thank you for
experience.
This.
I just love it.
This was great. I know I said 45 minutes, and I was like, wow, it went by like nothing.
Almost.
40, yep. Yeah, 40 seconds remaining. Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank
Thanks,
you, guys. Love
thanks.
You both.
Thank
Love
you for sharing.
Yes, as I say to Jaina, COVID hug.
COVID hug.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.